Father God, I pray right now that everybody that's here, Lord Jesus, would have ears to hear and hearts wide open, Father God, and that they would hear your words, Lord Jesus, not mine. But unless my words are yours, Father God, let them fall short if they're not. I pray that the ones that you want to hit the target, hit the target. God, I love it when somebody preaches something or says something from the Word of God, and all of a sudden something transpires and changes in their life, and it wasn't even the thing we preached about. That's fine, because I know how your Holy Spirit works, and it's great. I also like it when the thing that we preach about is the thing that changes, because I feel like that's the point. So, God, I pray today that all that happens. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Oh, nobody gets offended. Amen. That's a big one. That's a big one. If we could get a picture of the Magi up there, the first one I have. It is an artist's rendering, but if you don't have it, I can. Oh, there it is. Yes, excellent. So here's the Magi. Who were the Magi? Who were the Magi? These mysterious guys, they come up, they show up. They have gifts. They have an entourage. They show up like rock stars. They show up like billionaires. And it just, the Magi were an amazing bunch of dudes from the region of Iran, that area of Persia. And back then there was no Hinduism. There was no Buddhism. There was no Muslims. There was none of those religions. There was ancient religions that studied scripture and the stars. And that's who they were. These guys were very wise men. That's why they're called the wise men. They're not wise men like in New York. Not that kind of wise men. They're not wise guys like me and Mark. They're not that kind either. These guys actually studied things. They studied nature. They studied stars. They studied the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. It got around. They understand Judaism. And Judaism goes back to Moses, of course. So it's an old, old religion. Some 4,000 years old. It's one of the oldest that we know of, other than some pagan religions that don't exist anymore. But it's still being practiced today. And so these men, they were a part of that practice. I'm not saying that's solely what they did. I just know that they studied those scriptures. And so by studying these scriptures, and the stars, God gave them revelation, and they were able to put two and two together, and it was really important for them to get this expedition together. It took a long time. I mean, you got to think about Iran and the Persian area of Iran, which is the northeast area, all the way over to Israel, Bethlehem to be more specific. And it took a while for them to get there. So they probably had to leave in August, I'm guessing, probably some hot months. I don't know how long it takes to make that journey. I do know that there was about a million Hebrews that were stuck in a 40-mile area for 40 years. It took them that long to get from Egypt to Israel. But, you know, things take a while. You get turned around. You start seeing the same landmarks. Hey, that tree looks familiar right there. You know, what's going on? You know, who were these three guys? What were their names? Larry, Moe, and Curly? Or were they somebody that had some talent, like maybe Troy Michael and Emmett Smith? And I stepped on some toes with the cowboy reference, and I pleased some others. See, Jen, you can't please everybody. Can't please everybody. But hey, they did have a dynasty. They were amazing dudes. But these guys were even more amazing. These three guys were even more amazing. This is the part where I start acting my age and I wear my glasses. Pardon me. So, by the way, there was probably more than just three wise men. The reason why we get the number three is because of the three gifts. There probably was a whole entourage of wise men. They probably traveled in big numbers. They all had servants and people with them to help out. What their names are, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say. I can't find anything that says it's Larry, Moe, and Curly, or Troy, Michael, and Emmett, or anything like that. Hey, it could have been John and Terrell Davis. No? No, okay. Oh, we won't go there. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 in the NLT. And this says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, very bad king. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. This is the Magi showing up on the scene, and they're looking for Jesus. They go to the king, because the king should know where the king's being born. They have a big old conversation with King Herod, and their spidey senses go off, and they realize that this king's up to no good. And so the king tells them some things and says, hey, by the way, when you find him, come send a messenger, tell me where he's at so I can come worship him like you guys. Yeah. So I would have read that scripture, but for time's sake, you guys get the gist. And so the wise men, they take off and they go to the scripture of Matthew 2:11 in the Amplified. And it says here, I got it. Okay. And after entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And part of their worship, then after opening their treasure chests, they presented him gifts fit for a king, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh were very, very expensive things back then. Still today they are, actually. And especially gold. I don't know if you guys have ever found frankincense or myrrh, but I have not. I can't afford it. So it's not in my treasure chest. But here's the deal. They presented the king with gifts as a part of worship. Not only did they present Jesus with gifts, I already let the cat out of the bag, by the way. You guys missed it. I said king. I didn't say Jesus. I said the king. Because they were treating him like a king already. Not like a baby, not like a baby that was outcast because he was born from a virgin, didn't have a father, like the society's getting ready to do. But the things that transpire right here are so amazing how all these things happen. In just the ducks were in a row. The ducks were in a row in an amazing way. It goes on to say in, do you have chapter or verse 12? It says, I don't think you have this one, I'm not sure. And having been warned by God in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Please put that slide up with the shadow wise men. So here they are taking off the other way as it starts to get dark. And they're trying to be incognito. They're trying to be sneaky and take off so that the king can't see them. Because they're providing also that for the king himself. When they did this, they let Joseph know also what was going down. They knew, they were told in a dream, so they let Joseph know. And the very next day, with the provisions that were provided by the wise men, they took off to Egypt. And they were in Egypt for a while. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you guys study culture and you study races and nationalities and things like that, whenever our pilgrims left England, the ones that started the United States, whenever they left England because of religious freedoms, they went to the Netherlands. They went to Dutchland, okay? And the Dutch there were nice enough to let them work for 3 years for half wages. Not Dutch wages, They got immigrant wages. Now, this is very common. When you went to another land from another place, if you didn't have money, usually what would happen was you had to work for half wages if you were not a slave, being just giving roof and food. Sometimes you actually had to serve like an indentured servant or an internship type thing, and you had to earn your way in that society when you went there. But God already provided. God already provided a way. These guys were stinking, filthy rich. Look at all this. Look at what they had. They were able to hire camels. They were able to hire people to help them move and do all these things. Because here's a lady who just got done having a baby. Okay, here's a man by himself. And he has all this stuff. And they had to go to another land. And they had to have something that was going to provide the way, provide the means. God provided it in such an amazing way. But even though this gift, these gifts, and I'm not going to get into frankincense and myrrh today, we're talking about gold. Even though these gifts are very expensive, very fine, the gifts fit for a king, gifts that only royalty gives to royalty, because only royalty or very rich people can afford these types of things. So you didn't see them at the common peddler's house or the common worker's house or the commoner's house at all. And so these things were exchanged amongst the rich. So you showed up on the scene, automatically you were considered royalty or a kingship type deal. Okay? That you weren't far from the crown. Somehow, you obtained all this, and you were able to keep all this because of your lineage and your how close you were to the crown. Can you go to the next scripture? I want to go back to, I'm going to talk about Matthew 2:11 again. It says again in Matthew 2:11, when the men went into the house, they saw this child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and worshiped him. That is the first thing that happened. As gold was being given, worship happened. As gold was being given. That's why the title says, give a gift of gold, receive a gift of gold. This is your first clue to what the title means. They went in, if you could show the picture of gold, and then they presented the king with fine gold. And maybe they wore gloves like this, who knows? Maybe they were peddling like that, you know, who knows? You got to keep that stuff shiny. Put your human oils on it, man, it gets a little, you know, a little dull. And so here you go, Jesus, check this out. Gnaw on that a little bit, teeth on that. You know what I'm saying? 24 karat gold is very malleable. Yeah, you could chew on it a little bit if you wanted to, if you chose to. I remember the first time I showed Miley gold flake for food. She said, people don't eat gold. I said, like, heck, they don't. People eat gold. It's true. She said, you're crazy, Dad. Also, can we get that next slide for gold equals? Gold equals kingship of God. When gold is represented, it literally, in this case, giving a gift of gold to a baby was a standard back then. They used to give, so if a king had his first son, gold was given to him right away. There was already treasures that were being built up for this next king so that he could have his treasures. The dad had his treasures, and now the new king was going to have his. So here is Jesus already building up his wealth as a king. This is another significance. Give a gift of gold, get a gift of gold. Okay? Now, who else besides the Magi acknowledged Jesus as king? There was many people Many people, leaders and people across the community that did. First of all, the Magi did. Then Pilate, let me give you some scriptures. Pilate and the people acknowledged him, Jesus, king. In Matthew 27:11, I'm going to go through these really fast. So it says, now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. And he says, are you the king of the Jews? To Jesus. The governor asked him. Jesus replied, you have said it. You said it. It came out of your mouth, not mine, Jesus says to the leader. And in John chapter 12:12-13, it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. As they put down palm branches, because they didn't even want his ride to touch the dirt. They didn't even want his ride to touch the dirt. They called him the King. They shouted praises to him, called him Lord and King. Okay, this was, the multitude said this. So we have a governor and we have the multitudes. And in John chapter 18:39, it says, but you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews? This is Pilate talking to the Pharisees and the people. And he says, would you like me to release Jesus? Right now, you have a custom. Okay? You have a custom that says, I can release somebody, a prisoner. Let me release your king to you. Well, we know what happens. We don't have to get to that. But right here is an acknowledgement. Again, he calls him king of the Jews. He says, your king. Your king. And in John chapter 19:14 and verse 19, it says, it was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover. And Pilate said to the people, look, here is your king. And in 19 it says, and Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Here's four accounts in the Bible that the governor of this region called Jesus king. Okay? Now, I know that that didn't make Jesus king because Pilate said it. But it is a true acknowledgement by a governing person that this is a king. If the president of the United States was to come down here and declare Jody some kind of leader and give him a title, that's Jody's title. Period. I'm going to make you sayer of all sayers. Whatever you say, and nobody can say anything else. You hear me? You say? That's the sayer. He's the sayer. That's Jody the sayer. Okay? For now on, you guys call him Jody the sayer. It's like calling someone Dr. Jody. Okay? Do not call him anything else. It's disrespectful to his title. That's Jody the Sayer. And now coming up to bat, Jody the Sayer. If a governing official, high official, comes and deems you something, this is what you are. This is what you are. Whether sentencing you or lifting you up. And Pilate kept trying to lift him up. Even the wife come and warned him. We won't get into that. That's a whole other sermon. But like I said, gift of gold. Gift of gold, acknowledgement of king. Kingship, divinity. Kingship and divinity have been shown here through gold. Kingship and divinity. So, even in the song, if we can go to the verses of the song. It says in the song, We Three Kings, which is about the Magi, even though they weren't kings. There it is. It says, born a king. This is verse 2, by the way. Born a king, gold I bring, king forever. Born a king, gold I bring, king forever. King what? forever. Forever. It says, how's it go? Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. That's how the second verse goes of We Three Kings. It's another acknowledgement that Jesus is king in pop culture. Okay? Pop culture is a big thing. It says it's a huge part of culture. When somebody says something in entertainment value, it tends to spread faster than if a governor says it, than if so-and-so says it. You know, like Jordans, the shoes, Michael Jordans, they became popular with the rappers. As soon as it became popular with the rappers to wear them and on the street, Jordans increased in value so much. You could literally go and buy those ridiculous ones at Ross, okay? And once you buy them, you could take them to a trader and they certify them. As soon as they certify them, they triple and quadruple in value after they certify them. If you ever want to see that, look it up on YouTube or something. They have videos about it. It's pretty neat how they do it. Trading Jordans is like trading stocks. It's insanity to me, just like NFTs. But the thing is, I mean, little cartoons, come on. Who knew? Who knew little cartoons were going to be worth money like that? But I know half of you guys are like, what are you talking about? Let's go back to the sermon right now. Forget about Jordans and NFTs. Let's talk about gold and Jesus. Now, what's the big deal about gold? I'm going to move on right now. Talk about preparing a place for the king. I don't know how much of this you have, Chantel, but if you don't have it, don't worry about it. I'm going to go, okay? I got to take the sweater off. It's warm up here. You're right, babe. You were right, okay? Everybody look at Sharon. You're right. Hello, Sharon. Hello, Sharon. So, King David had a lot of gold, would you say? He was compiling gold so that he could build a temple. And he went to God, and God says, well, you've soiled your hands. You're a warrior. You cannot touch my temple, because if you're the one that builds it, it won't be pure. You guys. It won't be pure, because a man of war, a man who kills, a man who murders, cannot be the one who builds my temple. So it has to be your son. So he gives him all this gold and tells him, he allocates it. Says, this gold right here is for the temple. This is the best. This is the finest. And they use the finest of all King David's gold, all of King Solomon's gold and King Solomon's mines. And can you guys imagine how much that was? 3,000 tons of gold was used to build the temple of Solomon. You break that down to pounds, it's 6 million pounds of gold. Ounces, there's 16 ounces in a pound. We won't do that math. It's a lot of ounces, okay? And you guys may wear like a 2 or 3 ounce wristlet or whatever that's gold. Or what do the chains weigh, Andrew? Don't you have a gold chain? You don't know what it weighs? Anybody? What's like an average gold chain weigh? What's it weigh? Let's just say it weighs 4 ounces. Okay, 4 ounces. So you take that, and you're talking billions and billions of those necklaces right there is what King Solomon had. Also, it says in 1 Kings 10:18. I know you have this one, Chantel. It says, then the king made a huge throne, decorated with ivory and overlaid with fine gold. This is preparing a place for a king. Gold is a place to sit down for the king. A place to sit down for a king. What is more pure than gold? What is more pure than gold when it is refined? It says, there's a lot of scriptures here in Exodus 25, 10 through 21. We won't go over it, but it says, have the people make an ark of acacia wood. And then later on it says, and overlay it with gold. And then it says, do this with the cherubim, overlay it with gold. Do this with the ring, overlay it with gold. This, gold, 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 gold. There, that's the summary of those scriptures. Gold, 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 gold. A lot of gold built the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, now why was so much gold built into the Ark of the Covenant? And it was overlaid with gold, glistening with gold, shiny, pure gold. Why? Because it was going to hold the mobile presence of God. It was going to hold the mobile presence of God, and only pure folk could carry it, not even touch it, but carry it with wooden poles that were placed in such a way through rings. We won't go into technical things like that. The most important thing right here that you recognize is that gold was the place where God resided in the ark. Now, let's go to the temple. The temple of I said Solomon, temple in Jerusalem. First, let's go to John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? This is after Jesus flipped tables and got all crazy in front of the temple. It says, if God gave you the authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? Then Jesus said, this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed both scripture and what Jesus had said. He's talking about how he was going to rebuild the temple of Jesus. Jesus was a temple who held what? The presence of God. Who held the presence of God. So we got the temple, the actual temple that held the presence of God. We have the ark that held the presence of God. Jesus was gifted gold as a king who held the presence of God. Okay. Now it says, so back at we got the temple, and all of these things are here to build or for God's presence. All of this gold, we have kingship, divinity, and a place prepared for a king to reside. Okay? A place for a king to reside, a throne that has been overlaid with gold. An ark that has been overlaid with gold to carry the mobile presence of God. The Holy of Holies overlaid with gold. It also held the ark. And then Jesus himself given a gift of gold, pure himself, holding the presence of God at the time. And in James chapter 4, 1 through 10, it says this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme to kill and get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. God sees your heart. You want only what you will get will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I'll say it again. You want to be a friend of the world, and you make yourselves an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives us grace generously As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, for your loyalty has been divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves before the Lord. I said all this, and I'll be closing here shortly. Give a gift of gold to get a gift of gold. When you go to the king and you have your gift of gold, you're acknowledging that he's king. Once you acknowledge that he's king, you're placing yourself in a lower place. You've lowered yourself to admit that that's the ruler. That's the king. I have no more say. I can literally put my head down. He can cut it off if he wants to. I have nothing to say. That's what giving a gift of gold does in our lives. When we give God our gold, everything that's precious to us, and we give it up, we're just like the Magi at Jesus. We can do that this year. We, as seasoned, salty Christians, saints of God, can do that. And I'm by salt, I mean preserved. You can use it the other way, though, Pastor Justin, if you want to. So once we give the gold and we humble ourselves, just like the scripture says, God wants to be in us. God wants to dwell in us. But he needs a place prepared for a king. You get the gift of gold because you gave the gift of gold. Your life, everything that you care about, no matter what happens, God, you're number one. I can put my head down and you can chop it off instantly, and it's yours. It's fine. I'm good with that. Once your heart is in that place, then the process can start. That's why so many people, when they have miraculous salvations, you see addicts, you see people that were in sex trafficking and they were slaves to sex or other things, and just, you name it. You name the sin. It could be whatever the sin is. Sin is sin is sin is sin. Once you figure out what your sin is and you're tired and sick and tired of it, and you're like, God, take this away from me. I can't handle it no more. He comes in and he starts to overlay you with gold, preparing himself a place for a king. That's why so much happens in our lives when we get saved. How many times have you guys seen someone get saved and all of a sudden things just start changing in their life, almost like magic? All of a sudden they're giving to the church and they're giving to orphans and widows. And all of a sudden, their job, they get raises. And all of a sudden, they're sober. They didn't even try to be sober. God is the God of the miraculous. And when he puts gold in our hearts, we become pure. And we give him a place to sit and dwell. Just like the Ark of the Covenant. Just like the temple. Because you are a temple of God. You are a temple of God. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about a tree. Well, the tree in the end of Jesus' story. But what it's not about Santa Claus giving gifts. It's not even about giving gifts. It's about Jesus. It's about you give a gift of gold, you get a gift of gold. And it is a gift. It's not owed to us. It's not owed to us. And I believe as seasoned Christians and saints, we need to revisit this. I know once I did this study, it humbled me. I thought to myself, how is my overlaying of gold? Is it pure enough for God to dwell in me? Or do I let some things slide and then skate Christianity? I'll be honest with you. I do sometimes. And then God convicts me. I have to do the same thing all Christians have to do. Ask for forgiveness. And say, patch that up with some 24 karat, God. Get the patch kit out. The refiner's fire. God wants to refine you so he can dwell in you. Can you imagine? Pastor Sean talked about, you wonder why things, I'm going to paraphrase what he said. It might go bad. But last week's sermon was amazing. He talked about, you know, you feel like you're not talking to God. You feel like you're not close to God. Well, he went that way and you didn't go with him. That's what I got out of it. He took a left, you took a right. And then you went, God, where are you going? He said, I'm going over here. I don't know what you're doing. You want to be like God, you got to be with God. You want to have the same mercy and love Jesus had for his people, you got to be with him. If you want to talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, be kind like Jesus, love like Jesus. You know, when Jesus was there, and the Pharisees and Sadducees drug the naked lady out in the street, and not the dude. Where was the dude, by the way? Thanks, sister. Serious, because it takes two to tango. That's what my mom taught me. But we all know it was a setup for Jesus to fumble. And Jesus don't fumble. That's right. He carries it right here, cuffed to his heart. He is the rock. That's why he don't fumble. He just stands there. And she literally looked into his eyes when he said, where are your accusers? She says, I have none. She's looking at him. The most pierced person you could look at the time. The sin-free person. She looked into the eyes of God. She said, I have none. I have nobody to persecute me right now. And he says, then get up and sin no more. That's what he's asking right now. That's what he's asking right now. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed right now, out of respect for one another, I do agree with Pastor Sean on what he said last week about a response. I don't ever remember my life changing when I didn't have a response. When I sinned in secret. And when I gave my life to God, I did not want to do it in secret because nothing changed. But when I did it in front of my brothers and sisters, things changed. And so if you're here today and something about gold touched your heart, touched you, and you started to examine yourself, and you said, you know what, I don't have a place for a king. But I want a place for a king. So I'm going to give that gift of gold, Pastor Larry. I want to give that gift of gold right now. I want to give Jesus everything I am and everything I have. I'm not saying you bring the deed to your house or the title to your car or none of that stuff, all your money. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that if he does require it, you do it. If he requires your life, you do it. But he's a gentleman. He don't do that, typically. But he does have a plan for you. And unless you're with him, unless he resides in you, you're not going to know that plan. You're not going to be able to activate that plan. There'll be no power behind your plan. But with God, he'll take his super and he'll meet it with your natural. And you can become supernatural through Jesus. And so right now, if you're saying to yourself, I don't have a dwelling place for Jesus to reside in. I don't have a dwelling place for a king. I need to be overlaid with gold. I want salvation. Go ahead and raise your hand right now, and we'll pray with you. I see that hand, and if anybody else wants to join this one right here, I see that. If you want to be overlaid with gold, if you want to be pure 24 karat gold, I'm not going to go on like a salesman. I see that too. I don't want to go on like a salesman. It shouldn't be a sales pitch. If you need that, if you want that, it's available right now. We will pray with you. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I see that. I saw you. Thank you for all that just responded right now. And I'm going to give a different call. This is to the person who's known Jesus. You've walked the walk. You've talked the talk. And you meant it. You did the thing. But somewhere along the lines, the gold's gotten tarnished. The gold's gotten wore out. A little bit. That's okay. It happens. We need maintenance sometimes. We need maintenance. That's why there's maintenance men. That's why there's extra parts. That's why there's paint. That's okay. But it's not okay to let it go on. So if that's you, and you're like, you know, there's a little wore out place there, and I think I need to remodel that place for the king. You need a little remodeling for the king. If that's you and you want to rededicate yourself to keeping that place fit for a king, raise your hand right now. We'll pray with you. I see all those hands, all those hands. Let's just go ahead and stand up right now. And everybody who responded right now, just go ahead and come up front. And I want everybody who responded for salvation to come over here. And I want everybody who responded for, give me a remodel over here. So go ahead and come on up front, everybody. You guys are why I love this church. God wants to reside in you. He's got the gold. He wants the gold to live in you. And that's the way it is. Now you guys got gold. You guys gave the gift of gold. And go on from this place and sin no more. That is the message. Thank you, Father God, for this time together. I pray, Father God, that every word that was yours, once again, that will retain, Father God, like glue, Father God, like epoxy, Lord Jesus, that you would just stick to their hearts, Father God. Remind them how much you love them. I pray for grace and mercy right now in Jesus' mighty name to go forth and let the ones that receive the gold to prepare a place for you, Father God, dwell in them. And do amazing things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,